You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, though, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. We are on Facebook. We're on Instagram. I do this every week, and we always...
You sound so tired.
We've been doing this for like 10 years. I'm getting over being sick. I don't get how we've been doing this for 9 years, and I can never do a clean run of this. This is so trash. Y'all know where we at. If you don't know where we are, we're basically everywhere except for SoundCloud because they're trash. We're on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, everywhere you guys get podcasts. ClockRadioSpeakers.com has all of our previous episodes. We're on iTunes, everywhere. Listen to us, enjoy us, all that good stuff. Doc is here.
We're on Napster, we're on Audio Galaxy,
yo.
Google Earth. No, I'm just kidding.
Google Earth, Nas. Ah, it's a good time.
There was a time where if a rapper was talking about technology, it was just a bit off.
I remember, I'll never forget, I think I said this on the show, like when Spider Loke was bragging about emailing girls on I Don't Know Officer. And I think Bleak was bragging about emailing on like 1-900 Hustler or something like that. He said, chicks don't talk to us, the hoes they email us. Ooh. They're emailing us. That'll get them.
It was a time. What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter if you want, at @doc_beats, S not a Z. And also, if you are a fan of the show, a longtime listener, or you just want to be a supporter and you haven't checked out our Patreon yet, patreon.com/CRS podcast.
Yes.
And of course, clockradiospeakers.com for all things. Oh, man. We haven't really talked much about 2019 hip hop in 2019.
We have not.
We've done two episodes so far this year. We did the 2018 year in review, and then we did the definitive 15 for 1999. Did we do anything else? Have we done more episodes? Am I losing my mind here?
I feel like we did.
2018 year in review. End of the year, we did the... It's the end of the year, we did the remixes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, man. So, not like any huge... incredible, crazy, groundbreaking albums right now, but there's enough stuff to talk about.
There's
right?
a lot to catch up on.
There's enough
for an episode for sure. So where do you want to start?
Oh, man. Why is Soulja Boy trending right now? What's going
on? Well, I think on one hand, first off, it started off with his video game console, which is a hilarious idea in itself.
It's an emulator player. Like, it's illegal.
Yes.
I saw, like, a snippet of some interview where he was, like, saying something like, you know, people will support Japanese people, like, with the PlayStation, to support but they won't support black people, like, something like that. And I was like, it's an illegal console, man.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But, you know, cool. So he was trying to sell a video game system.
Trying to sell his video game system. I actually watched a review by a guy who did an honest review. And yeah. It wasn't like a, oh my God, what is Soulja Boy doing? He's exploiting the gaming industry. It was literally like, I bought it. This is what it was. This is why you should or should not buy it. It was actually really good. But yeah, he basically like threw an emulator up. I guess, I think it's like $50 more expensive because it has... because it has his name on it. The guy was just like, yeah, you could just, it's the exact same emulator as this and you can get it right now here for $50 cheaper. So I said just.
But that's called marketing, man.
Absolutely. And I guess they upload like two or three other games or some other games that had Soulja Boy's name on it. He also had the watch. All this stuff that you can get on AliExpress and you can basically just, you know, jailbreak it or root it, as the nerds say, and add your own stuff to it.
He's hustling.
He's hustling. I mean, it's hustle. You should go to jail.
Well, you know.
Should be prosecuted for that. So it started off with that. He was catching a lot of backlash with it. And then he went on a rant on his Instagram Live. It goes viral. He ends up on the Breakfast Club because, of course, and everything is what it is from there.
Yeah. So he was, so the, I think I saw some of this, right? Where like the idea is like, there was this general conversation somewhere that like Tyga had like a fantastic 2018. Like,
yes,
he had a great 2018. Like he was like the comeback guy of the year, right?
Yep.
And Soulja Boy was taking offense to that? Is that?
Yeah. He says he has the great, he had the greatest comeback of 2018.
What did Soulja Boy put out in 2018?
I don't remember, but he did.
Was it the gaming console?
He did say the gaming console. Okay. I think he talked about like his business ventures, some other stuff that he did. And he said that was enough to justify that. And then the fact that he had just put out a new mixtape and a new single, just put out a new mixtape. Oof.
Young, so he put out two EPs. He put out, he's been putting out a ton of mixtapes. Oh man.
That's always been his bag. I mean, for years, was lots and lots of music, lots and lots of videos. But I think that was back in the YouTube days before they like really like clamped down on the monetization.
Mm.
'Cause he had YouTube channels for days. And would just build them up, put videos on there, and then create another one. I don't know what the thing is about having multiple YouTube channels. Not sure what that means.
Yeah, I mean, and then because, like, of course, like everything with hip hop, you know, it can't just be you had a good year. It was either you're the worst or you're a legend.
Of course, I mean, we talked about this,
right? But that's true. I mean, right? It's not just hip hop. It's a larger culture or whatever. But it's like. So basically, I mean, I don't know, like it, which started as, I don't know, to me, sort of whatever, turned into Soulja Boy realizing, I mean, not even realizing, this is part of, this is how he like keeps himself relevant, right? Is, people are talking about me. Let's keep this going.
Yeah.
But like, is there anything like musically like that he's putting out that is like catching in any way? I haven't heard anything. You know what I mean? It's not like people are like, he's got a single too off one of these mixtapes. That's really.
Yeah. And I mean, that's eventually what it always comes down to, the music. Like, it's going to be that. But at the same time, do you necessarily need that for at least somebody like Soulja Boy? Like Soulja Boy, what happened was people really caught on and said, yo, Soulja Boy is responsible for lots and lots of the ways that artists engage on social media. And you can definitely make a very strong case for that. And then it got to, Soulja Boy has records. I was seeing top 10 Soulja Boy records, top 20 Soulja Boy records, underrated Soulja Boy records.
Okay.
And I saw he did a Yams Day.
Okay.
He can go on tour right now.
But hey, just off the notoriety.
Yeah.
Oh man, I forgot that his second album was called I Soulja Boy Tell Him, as in like the lowercase I, like iPhone.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Oh boy. It's interesting. So now I'm doing like a Soulja Boy little deep dive. So like he does almost all the production on his debut.
Yes.
Himself. Right. Yes. That was famously his thing.
Yes.
On the second one though, Polo Don, Drummer Boy.
Well,
he was signed through the phone.
Yeah, he was signed to Collar Park, right?
Yeah, but Collar Park barely does anything.
Hmm.
Collar Park almost has no production on any of his stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about. Oh, Turn My Swag. See, Turn My Swag On, that's a record.
Turn My Swag On is hard. It is.
Young Jeezy's remix is better than
this, it was,
but you know, that's fine.
It was dope.
That's fine. But like, yeah, I mean, Soulja Boy has like, he had some moments, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But he's not like, would you consider Soulja Boy legendary?
I would say so.
What is the threshold for legendary?
I think legendary means you have a lasting. I think Soulja Boy has a lasting impact in terms of what he did, what he represented, what he accomplished, and I think that like his influence of what he did still rings today. I think he's a polarizing figure. You know what I'm saying? Like, are they going to erect statues for Soulja Boy? No, they're not. But are people going to look at Soulja Boy and be like, man, get out of here? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I forgot that Crank That was nominated for a Grammy. That's incredible.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, he kind of came around at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because he was the SoundCloud rapper before there was SoundCloud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, if he doesn't need Interscope to distribute his album, like... But on the other hand, maybe he never blows up as big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I think Soulja Boy is notable. He's memorable. He's had records. But, like, he was real upset with Drake, apparently, for not, you know, because I don't think he did it. I don't think he did much of it on his most recent tour run. But previously on his tours, he'll do We Made It. And Soulja Boy was like, he didn't call me out to, you know, he didn't have me up there doing it with him once. He's like, he didn't want to do the video. And I thought, I was like, well, I mean, it was a SoundCloud Lucy, but like.
Yeah, I mean, but nobody knows about that record until Drake did it. And Drake kind of did him a favor by leaving him on the record.
Well, considering the era, I wonder if the problem was like, because let me really give Soulja Boy credit. For like, despite, you know, you can look at some of the, like, you look at, yeah, so like, oh, Speakers Going Hammer, that's Boy Wonder. Yeah.
Is
so
it like, really?
Yeah. So like, I'll give him credit, right? Because he wrote for himself always. He could produce for himself. His first album, he almost entirely self-produces. He is, with the second and third albums, he's got like no, name producers or whatever. But after that, obviously, like, He was business savvy. He is independent. Like, he is making his own way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But,
like, you know, it's not like dude has, like, you know, two classic albums and a, you know, like, we're not, like, there's no definitive 15 on Soulja Boy.
Yeah, but
could you get to 15?
There are people there who got to 15. I saw a top 15 list, a top 20 list. And then read the mentions and people said, yo, you forgot this and this and this.
Listen, super fans will always find a way.
Sure. But that's, like, what, that's, you know, what I'm saying. So, okay, so can a casual, I'm about to ask a question. I know what your answer
is. No, go ahead.
Can a casual music listener find 15 Timbaland records?
Like, name them off the top of their head?
That like they absolutely love. And that would be like, can a casual music fan do a definitive 15 on Timbaland? You know what I'm saying? Or do you have to be nerdy once you get to like 11 or 12?
Timbaland's an interesting case. I feel like I think it's one of those things where actually there's an amazing amount of people who don't. To me, it's amazing because you and I have been doing this for so long now. It still amazes me. Like, a lot of people have no idea what production is, how music actually comes together. Like, they have no idea. So you'd almost have to like walk someone through, like name off a bunch of like stuff that he has produced.
Yeah.
And then they'd go, oh yeah. Oh, that's a great song. Oh, you know, like you'd be surprised. Like people that, especially if they are more casual, like if they listen to like a wide breadth of music and they're not hip hop and R&B focused, not to say that producers don't play as much of a role, especially in pop where producers are just as important, if not more important than hip hop. Like, people just don't think about, they don't listen to music and typically in pop because, oh, so-and-so produced it.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas we do in hip hop.
Absolutely. Well, they have pop producers that,
oh, no, they do, but like, they don't have the, like, so like, growing up it was the same way, but same now. Like, when we're talking about some of the art, like when we talk about, when we talk about Future's album later, right? Like, when I look at that production track list, like I can immediately, like I can go, oh, right. Like I can look at a production track list and I can see, like, I can see the story. I can understand what's happening here. Like I can see, oh, they did a session or two with this producer, They filled in the, like I, you can, because we've been doing this for a long time. Right. But like, even those who aren't as like nerdy as we are, they still kind of know, especially now in the era of drops, right? Nobody reads credits really. But like you've got producer drops, so they know when they hear, you know, if Metro Don't Trust You, they're like, oh, Metro, yeah. Right? Or if they hear the Tay Keith drop, like they know Tay Keith,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you're right though. Maybe for a lot of people, I don't know. I feel like people are nerds about all sorts of stuff, right? But like I feel like Justin Timberlake. I feel like more casual fans could Well, could they get to 15 for Tim Butler? Maybe you might be onto something.
I don't think so.
You think 10 is like the limit? After 10, you gotta be like you gotta be either a big fan or just a music nerd in general.
For Timberlake though, he might not even get the 10. Hold on. Maybe I'm not giving enough credit to casual fans. Maybe casual for you and I is something different. Are people gonna name like 10 songs that they absolutely love? Or are they gonna name 10 songs that they know?
I think I'm not drawing much of a distinction between that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting question. So like, this is a great question. I would love to hear from people who are listening. Hit us up at Sierra's Podcast on Twitter. And like, are we discounting casual fans and how much they actually might be aware of? Or are we overrating how much they actually know? Like, let us know. Now, obviously, if you're listening to the show, you are probably a little bit more on the nerdy side, but you know casual fans just like we do.
Yes.
The biggest thing about Soulja Boy, though, to me is like, and Tory Lanez is kind of doing the same thing right now, right? Where it's like, people have really, really, really figured out how to kind of like, I want to use the phrase weaponize, but that almost sounds wrong. But like, they have really figured out how to capitalize on the sort of cycles of like, oh, this comment on this interview went viral and then this happened. Like, you can watch the ping pong and like, artists are getting much better at figuring out how to like use that online momentum and, oh, because there's like, how many blogs do nothing but recap what's on other blogs? You know what I mean? Like, so like, they can use that just, it's like noise, but it's like this motion to like then catapult themselves to do something else. So like, Tory Lanez can get out here and do, you know, he clearly has a chip on his shoulder and feels some kind of way about the fact that like, he thinks he's, whether, I mean, I think everybody who raps thinks that they're the best in some, like someplace deep down, right?
Yeah.
But he really feels like he's the best. And he feels people are like ducking him and all this other stuff. And it's like, when some rappers say it, like we'll talk about J. Cole in a bit. When some rappers say it, you might have to go, that's an interesting argument. Or you might at least have to think about it for a sec. No, sorry, Tory Lanez, but like, are the Tory Lanez like stands out there going, you know, he's got a point? Or is it just, all recognize this promo is good for him?
I think what's happening is he's found a lane that is surprisingly empty.
Which is?
Actually doing diss records. So nowadays, and I mean, I don't know if you blame Drake for this, or you credit Drake for taking advantage of it or making it like more of the thing to do, but like, you know, or you just credit the social media culture. But now rappers will beef and do everything except rap. So you got somebody who says, yo, I'm the greatest rapper. I'm the best rapper alive right now. I dare any of y'all to step up. Like, just let me know who wants the smoke in this whatever. Who stepped up the first time? What was his name? Jordan Lucas steps up.
Oh, right.
They're going back and forth. It takes it back to my time when Joe Budden is responding to Ransom 8-9 hours after Ransom puts records out.
Right.
You know, which in this sort of climate, back in that day, like, people were like, yo, Joe, like, wait a minute. Like, we didn't even hear this record. In this climate, oh, it's perfect. People are already asking, like, well, Don Q needs to put out 2 diss records. You know what I'm saying? Like, to respond to Tory's 1. So they're going back and forth. I think people had a low threshold. We talked about this. The low threshold that people will have for artists. I don't think that people expected Tory to do as well as he did. And I think because Joyner raps really fast, people expected Joyner to do better than he did. So Tory,
the fast rapping always throws people off.
Absolutely. It's like you're not saying anything. So Tory wins that one. Now you got Don Q. Don Q gets the Meek Mill treatment. Oh, he came from battle rap. He was on URL. Mm-hmm. He battled with Smack. And I think now you don't send out, I think Don Q's problem was you don't send out the warning shot.
Like, oh, you don't have time for that. You can, if you're the first mover, you can do the warning shot.
No, he was first. He was first.
Well, I mean, like if you're in Tory's position, you can start with a warning shot and trap someone in. But if you're responding, you can't respond with a warning shot.
So in this instance, Don Q goes first, and Don Q's record is really, really light.
Mm.
And because Tory is kind of like the winner right now, he's the champ. You know, when you're the champ, you can decide the rules. So when he says, yo, I'm not going back and forth with you. I'm only doing this once. Like, and then goes in and is very as disrespectful as he was in his diss record. When Don Q comes back, Tory can always play the, I said I was only going to do it once. And he doesn't lose any smoke unless Don Q gives him like take right. over, hit him up, right. like just something absolutely crazy. So, you know, you find that lane. I mean, he was kind of talking spicy to Royce, and that kind of got ended with the phone call. That's something I would have liked to have seen, but it seems like it's weird where Tory's going to be able to do that, similar to what T.I. did when he was King of the South, slightly different, where.
What? Oh, go ahead.
The older guys feel like they don't have to respond to that. Like, oh, I'll let the young kids do it. And then the young kids don't understand the rules and they play into the hand of the person who makes the call. The only difference when T.I. did it was that he got Scarface to say, I don't care. Because people were saying Scarface is the King of the South. And Scarface is like, I don't care about that. Yeah, sure. T.I.'s the King of the South. And it immediately gave T.I.'s claim credibility.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting move for Tory Lanez. Like, I mean, I think he did. I think I might have heard this. Like, he did a freestyle on Flex that I was like, okay.
Yeah, and he caught some flack for that because I think he stole somebody's line. He was stealing people's
Don
lines.
Don Q.
Like he was stealing Don Q's line. Look at that, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of dudes who seem like they want to call people out, but I'm not really sure. You want to talk about your man J. Cole?
Sure, let's do it.
He was all over social media. We might have talked about this on a previous week. I can't remember. The Dream Chasers 3 compilation. What's the name of it? It's
Revenge of the Dreamers Dream 3. Chasers,
Dreamville 3. Revenge of the Dreamers 3. So I had a little buzz from that. There's people talking about. This record produced by T-Minus. Oh, J. Cole this, J. Cole that. Comes out, it's called Middle Child.
Mm-hmm.
So let me say some positive things.
Okay.
I like this trend of J. Cole and other people's production.
Yes.
We are on to something here.
Yes.
I don't think this T-Minus beat is like all the way there, but it's good. It works.
Yes.
And he sounds, yeah. If you would have told me 3 years ago, if you told me 2 years ago that the ultimate answer for J. Cole was going to be him rapping over upper echelon trap beats, I would have told you, huh?
Yeah.
And yet, this is where we're at.
Would you consider this an upper echelon trap beat?
I mean, in general, like okay. He's rapping over like name brand trap. I don't believe
name we're gonna, brand trap.
It's true. Like okay. we're like these, some of these albums we're gonna briefly talk about today. There's a lot of of no name trap beats happening.
Okay.
But like, you know, his appearance on 21 Savage's record, right? That's a DJ Dahi beat. Like just going outside of his normal sound. And Middle Child, so I appreciate that. He definitely has a chip on his shoulder, and he's a talented rapper. I love when talented rappers have a chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like he feels like he's not getting his due.
Yeah.
But he also didn't name any names. There's a lot of insinuation.
Yes, yes. There we go.
Including an insinuation that I was not expecting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's insinuation.
It is.
Okay. But I like it. It's good. It's not amazing. It's good. How do you feel about Middle Child?
It's cool. It's cool. I think I found the problem with it. This is not my opinion, but okay. I heard somebody say it and I'm like, I'm inclined to agree. So we talk about J. Cole needing different production, and I don't think it's the beats that are the problem.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's him.
You think it's him?
Yeah. Like, I wish he had a little more inflection with his, and this isn't just this record.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I get why he's kind of laid back on this, because though the horns are really big, the beat itself is really, it's cool. And not by cool, I mean like decent. I mean cool, like it's really, it's trap. It's like chill trap. Yeah. You can't really like, this isn't like adrenaline trap. But when you go back and listen to stuff, he either listen to something like, oh my God, what's the name of the single that counted up record?
Oh, ATM.
ATM. So that's very adrenaline based, that beat. It's like a cool adrenaline though. Like I'm gonna get hyped, sure. But I ain't gonna get too hyped. And even in that, he's not really inflecting. He's just, his voice is at a higher octave.
Right, right, right.
But I don't really feel a sense of urgency. I have heard records where Cole has a sense of urgency. And I typically like those records. Even the record he did about Ferguson that he never put out.
Oh, right.
That record, yeah, record's phenomenal.
That's interesting because like he's using almost a similar style of rap. I think he must have, I wonder if he did these around the same time as he does in the 21 record. And on the 21 Savage song, I just sort of thought he was pulling a Drake where you it's know, like...
I still never listened to that record.
You really should. That's one of my favorite records of the past couple months.
I hate the hook.
It's one of those 21 Savage things where like you're going to hate it the first five times and then it's going to click and you're just going to walk around being just, you're going to be like saying things are going to be like a lot. It's just going to happen.
I don't like how artists, rappers make themselves out to be the victims all the time.
Like, that's interesting.
Do you have a lot of haters? Do you really?
Well, that's, oh man. But you know, 21 famously raps pretty much in the same tempo, the same tone of his voice all the time. So when J. Cole did it on the verse for a lot, I thought he was pulling a Drake where it's like, okay, I'm going to come on this track and I'm going to do your thing. I'm just going to do it better.
Yeah.
I thought that's kind of what he was doing. Like not like trying to flex too much, but flexing a little bit, you know? But then I heard it on this and I was like, oh, no, he's just being real chill.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think people got a little excited about this. I think part of it is, and this is part of what we're talking about today in general, a little bit of a quiet time for hip hop right now.
Yeah.
So I like
mean, we said, everybody went off already this year. So everybody, right. It seems like everybody's loading up.
Right. So like, you know, cool. Like let J. Cole get a little bit of whatever. I'd be interested to see what this Dreamville compilation is. A lot of people are really liking G.I.D.
Yeah, people do. I finally got around. We've had some listeners ask me to listen to J.I.D. And I finally got around to listen to like a collection of records.
Yeah, J.I.D. can rap.
It's too Kendricky for me.
Well, oh yeah,
It's too Kendricky for me. But to his point, that's I think we talked about this on the show. Like this is the era we're in now, or maybe I talked about this offline. This is the era we're in now, where people that we watched come in, like now they have children.
Yep.
Kendrick has kids. Just like in the early 2000s, we saw a bunch of people who sounded like Jay.
Yeah.
So, this is what it is. Anyway.
Anything else you want to say about Middle Child?
Dang. Is there something else I wanted to say? I don't know. I don't think so. Do you think this is going to appear somewhere else? Oh, we didn't even talk about like the diss records. Because you alluded to who he was potentially shooting at that you were shocked about.
Well, actually, you know, it wasn't even on this song. Again, it's on, record. It's on a lot.
What'd he say?
He talks about, is it on a lot where he talks about the streams? Hold on.
Yes, he does. Yep.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it hasn't been really too widely talked about on like hip hop websites, but like, Tidal is under like significant investigation was it Sweden? Tidal was originally based out of? I can't remember. But Tidal is like really being looked at seriously for overinflating streams on, was it Lemonade, Pablo, and 444?
Okay.
So for, I don't know, like unless there's some other artist out there who's being accused of doing stuff with streams, felt like an odd reference for J. Cole to somebody who's like one of his like, you know, idols.
Yeah.
That one caught me off guard a little bit. I was like, okay. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, he's sort of lamented Kanye before. It seems like he's lamenting Kanye again, right?
Yeah.
Pusha felt some kind of way.
He did. I feel like some of that was for Push.
Hmm.
I feel like some of that was for Push. Because, you know, based off of Push's tweet, he clearly felt the way. It clearly caught his radar. Would that be something that you want to see? Push and Cole?
Yeah, in a sense. I don't, because like, I just don't know how Pusha's sort of strategy, I mean, Pusha would have to come at Cole very differently than he came at Drake.
Absolutely.
Cole's a totally different kind of rapper, different kind of mentality, different image.
Also, it's not personal.
Right. It's not personal. He wouldn't necessarily be the people's choice in that one. That'd be an interesting merging of two worlds.
Well, in wrestling, they call it a face versus face, where, face you know, versus face. Where something like Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania 6, where the fans are split on who to cheer for.
Right.
Because they're both over. That's your number one and number two most popular guys. And Cole is, and it's weird because Cole has his diehards. And because Cole has diehards, he has a lot of people who don't like him because of the diehards. Push, on the other hand, is always going to get backlash from the Drake audience.
Right. I think J. Cole's got, you know, depending on who else decides to drop in the, you know, next couple months, like if J. Cole wants to put some stuff out, there's a wide open lane for him right now.
It depends on, you know, if you have to put out this Revenge of the Dreamers 3 first.
Yeah, that's got to be coming. I mean,
the March.
He should go faster than that, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Because we'll eventually get there. Like, but right now, I mean, so typically there's always one big name artist who does something connected to the Grammys, right? That's the time to introduce it, or they're going to perform something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so Grammys are 2 weeks away?
Is that the same weekend as All-Star Weekend?
I don't know. It used to be before. I think Grammys are in between Super Bowl and All-Star Weekend. Is that right?
Okay, so that's the week after. So yeah, that is 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks, not even. Seems like, you know, it's 2 weeks away. Future put out an album. J. Cole's got the single, but like so many big names came out last year. So like that's why it was interesting. We were talking before about The Dream, right? Like, he's talking about Rihanna. Like, if Rihanna wanted to put a single out, really good time for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody's got, I don't know, it seems like someone will do something. But until that happens, go right ahead, J. Cole. Because, like, until Kendrick comes out and until Kanye comes out, all the other, like, rap A-listers, they've all come out, already, like, within the past 12 months.
And don't have any reason to come out anytime soon. I think Kendrick can ride this Black Panther wave since they were nominated for an Oscar. Kanye's still whatever. We don't know where that is. And he might not even be considered upper echelon at this point.
This might be his last chance to be upper. Like, if Yandy ever or whatever it is comes out and is like on the level of Pablo, then people are going to, it's a certain kind of conversation. But if this is Ye all over again, Ye part two, oh boy.
I don't even think people
are going to pass. Kanye 2 is going to be over. The Kanye 2 the forums are going to be in shambles.
But I don't even think he can get away with putting out a Pablo because.
Oh, you think he's got to go higher?
He's got to go higher. But what it sounds like is like some of the people or the level of talent who helped him make, we'll say, a Dark Twisted Fantasy, they're not going to stand next to him right now. He's hot. And hot like go to jail hot and not hot like make me more money hot. You know, so can you pull out a Dark Twisted Fantasy with Sahi the Prince?
I mean, Sahi wrote on that, you know.
He did. But
I'm not worried about that.
Is Swiss and Jay going to get on the record?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like all those other artists going to contribute? Probably not. And I think that's why I don't like the J. Cole diss is because Kanye's an easy target. I don't like kicking people while they're down. I don't like kicking like the big target. It's too easy. It's easy. Go after something or somebody. If you're loading clips and making names or whatever, go after Pusha.
Also, if you're going to put this whole series on Instagram of like, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list. It's like, and then the song that you put out doesn't actually name those names.
It's just part of the song. It's how you start the record.
Right. But like, I felt like a little bait and switch because I read that and I was like, okay. But I should have known better.
And yeah, so that might be like my cynicism coming in. I was like, man, J. Cole ain't naming no names. he's Paul Wall. He's the people's champ. He's not gonna come out crazy and and name names. How does that benefit him?
He's got a disco ball illuminating his mouth. He's Paul Wall. That Paul Wall?
My favorite meme right now is the one about Trump's wall. Like,
Texas already has a wall.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Oh man. Anything else you want to say about J. Cole?
Nah, let's move on. We spent too much time on this.
Speaking of the Oscars,
I've
Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther. Sure. I was gonna go Kanye, but yeah, let's do Oscars.
Yeah, we'll do Oscars real quick.
Yeah.
So every year, the First Lady and I, we do the Best Picture Showcase.
Yes, I'm excited.
This year, 8 movies nominated for Best Picture. We're only seeing 7 as a part of the showcase.
Why aren't they? What is the 8th one that they're not showing, and why aren't they showing it?
The 8th one is Roma, okay, which is the Netflix movie.
Okay.
So have you heard about this?
I've heard about how it's, you know, just crazy that a Netflix movie is nominated for Best Picture and what the potential that it has to really impact Hollywood.
So I didn't realize this. I didn't realize that there was a sort of an explicit rule. But now that I've read everything after Roma, it makes a lot of things all of a sudden make sense to me, which is that historically, most of the major cinema chains in the U.S., right? AMC, Cinemark, whatever your local movie theater, you know, not some like independent boutique theater that has 4 screens and, you know, whatever. Not like one of those. I'm talking like the big ones. If you put a movie there, if you are, you know, a production company, distribution company, you know, movie studio, you want to get a movie there, you agree that it will not be on video on demand, streaming, etc. for 90 days.
Okay.
Right. So, which is why it's exactly 3. So like, you know, movie comes out in January, 3 months later, it'll be on iTunes. And then eventually, you know, like that, I always thought that was just like a rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was actually like no, if you want to go into the theaters, into the main theaters, you have to agree to 90 days, right? It's an exclusivity window.
Okay.
From a theater's point of view, I kind of get it, right? Yep. Because if you can watch it at home, why are you going to pay whatever to go watch it in the theater?
Absolutely.
So Amazon has been funding movies for a little while now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they have been okay with playing by the rules. So Manchester by the Sea, which was nominated for Best Picture like 2 years ago, I think, 3 years ago maybe, was distributed by Amazon, paid for by Amazon.
Okay.
But they were like, no, we'll put it in the theaters. We'll do the traditional rollout. We'll do the whole thing. And then eventually when it comes to streaming, of course, it's exclusive to Amazon Prime. Like they did that whole thing, but they were willing to play that game.
Okay.
Netflix is not.
Of course Netflix not.
Netflix has no interest in delaying anything for 90 days. So they have told the theaters, no, we'd be happy to put Roman in these major theaters, but we're not agreeing to 90 days.
Hmm.
So they're not showing it because like there's actually they don't have a legal right to show Roma right now. I mean, they could change that by altering the rules, but Hollywood's really kind of dug in here. It's an interesting, it's definitely an interesting problem. Like Roma is an interesting movie to really try to like go to war over. I think if Roma wins Best Picture, which it's one of the front runners.
Okay.
Even though it's a black and white movie entirely in Spanish and subtitled.
Of course it's a front runner.
it's directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who did Gravity, he did Pan's Labyrinth, he did he's done a bunch of movies. He's like a known director. Like this was like a big deal for them. But apparently, what's kind of weird to me is like apparently the cinematography is gorgeous. It looks incredible. AKA, it is like designed to be seen on a big gorgeous screen. So it's kind of ironic that it's like straight to Netflix, you know. But that's the way this happens now, right? Netflix. I'm sure, you know, he would have gone to a regular studio, but Netflix is the one who's like, okay, famous director, you want to make your passion project, which is a movie set in, you know, 1970s working class Mexico, and it's all in Spanish and it's in black and white. You do whatever. It's fine.
Right.
Right. Netflix is throwing around money like crazy. But so I get it. I get that. I get why the theaters are like, now we want our exclusivity because they haven't figured out that next move. Right. I could see. The more I think about this, like I think the next move is like it's a merger between a streaming service and a movie theater chain. Because then you just do an expanded monthly thing and you don't care where people see it.
Right. So then how do you get people to pay for something that they can watch at home?
Because some stuff Because that in that case, you might, since you own both, you might decide. So like, let's say that ever happened, right? And there was some big action movie that they funded. Well, you might say, you know, first week, you got to go see it at the theater. But in a week, it'll be on Netflix.
Oh, you know? We need to talk offline.
So, you know, you could do interesting things that way. But like, as it stands right now, where you've got streaming, Netflix, especially on one side and theaters on the other, like you're kind of in this weird place. So that's kind of a behind the scenes thing. So, I mean, Merce and I were like, all right, I guess we'll just watch it on Netflix before the Oscars. But aside from that, yeah, it's an interesting year. Black Panther's nominated, which, boy, I thought Black Panther was fine.
I wouldn't even give it a five. It was all right. It was okay.
I enjoyed it.
I think it's the cultural impact of the movie, which I understand.
But I also think just people there. Like, I think a lot of people really love that movie.
They do.
And I'm just like, cool. It's good.
Yeah.
And actually, like, you know, if you would have told me, considering it's nominated for Best Picture, if you would have told me Michael B. Jordan gets nominated for Best Supporting Actor, I would have been like, you know, I'm not mad at that. He's great in that movie.
Yeah.
But like the idea of the Black Panther soundtrack being nominated for a Grammy and for all the stars to be nominated for Best Song, I'm like, okay, all right, all right. We are let's all relax.
Yeah.
Kendrick is not winning. It's not happening. Lady Gaga's winning for it will win for Shallow, which is from The Star Is Born. She's 100% gonna win for that. And that's fine. But it seems like Kendrick and SZA are going to perform at the Grammys. So
they'll definitely take some Grammys home for that, right?
I'm sorry, not the Grammy. I'm sorry. They might take some Grammys home. Yeah, definitely. But I'm sorry, they're going to perform at the Oscars.
Okay. So they're going to do the 3-6 Mafia is Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I mean, at least it's that. I don't know. Like, All the Stars is, it's, I don't know. Weird choice for, because it only plays during the credits. You know, it's not like it's essential to the movie or anything. Whereas, like, the Lady Gaga song, Shallow, is like, it's a crucial turning. It's a crucial moment in the movie, actually. But anyway. So Best Picture Showcase. If you're listening to this and you are intrigued by this idea of a Best Picture Showcase, basically, if you go to, I think if you just Google AMC Best Picture Showcase, if you have a major AMC, like, megaplex near you, they are probably megaplex. Playing it.
Yeah, let's see if they have that in Columbus.
I bet you they do.
I'm sure they do. I would agree with you. All right, 216.
2019. So let's go see where's it.
3, 2, 3. Oh, at a whole bunch of places.
Ohio. So which of these are near you? Easton, is that near you?
Easton's super near me. Easton's the center of Columbus. AMC Lenox is, God, where is that at? Hold on, let me see the address.
Wait.
Oh,
the one in Easton has 30 screens?
Yeah, Easton's at that's like the big mall in the city.
Is that one you and I went to?
Did I take you to a mall? If I did, then I took you to Easton.
Yeah. Oh, it's a dine-in too. Man, that's
mm-hmm.
nice.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice. The AMC Lenox Town Center 24 is the one that's fairly close to campus. So OSU kids.
Yeah.
And then Dublin is kind of like, Columbus has like some cities that are unto themselves.
Oh, it's like a burb, but it's become a city.
Yeah. Where like it's too far out for a lot of people to drive. And then people kind of live out there to get away from the city, but it has everything you need to be self-sustaining.
So yeah. Going to see that. That's our yearly tradition. That'll be good. Looking forward to it.
Oh, and it's not super packed either.
You're like,
Man, my girl ain't about to sit in no movie for no. It's like, no, you know what? She's 10 hours. She's corny. She would 100% do it.
I mean, especially now, like theaters, you know, they have like decent, like the food's not terrible.
They have to step it up.
Yeah, they could step it up a little bit, but I mean, compared to like 20 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, you definitely could not do. Is yours a dine-in?
No, it's not a dine-in.
Oh, see? So I'm like, so what do you eat for 10 hours? Do you just bring your own stuff?
All right. So we got a whole system for this, as you probably imagine.
Of course you do.
So first of all, people go crazy for this sort of thing, at least in my theater. If people bring in like coolers, they bring in all sorts of stuff. But what we do is basically, so, you know, they've got like chicken tenders and stuff like that you can get from the concession stand. So like that's fine for like a lunch, but for like dinner, you need something more substantial. So we always go out like some local place, get sandwiches, put them in the cooler, like, you know, grinders, like subs, like substantial, like food, put them in the cooler in the car. And what the way they do it is, so on the, you know, if they're showing four movies, they'll do the three pretty much back to back to back with like 15, 20 minute breaks in between. And then they have it like an hour break before, you know, after the third movie. Okay. So you can go get food.
Okay.
Right. You can go either go get food quickly someplace, or if you, you know, we'll just go out to the car, go get the stuff out of the cooler, bring it in, eat in the theater. Nobody cares. It's fine. Yeah. They realize you're there for 10 hours. But like at the one that's a dine-in, I mean, I guess they probably just expect you to eat that food, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure it's crazy expensive.
I'll say because it's at Easton, oh, it's super expensive.
Right. But yeah, the because, you know, they're only showing seven movies out of the eight this year, that first Saturday is only three movies, so it's just back to back to back. And Marissa was like, oh, we can actually go out to dinner this year. We don't have to get a sandwich somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Speaking of performing random, how do you feel about your boy Travis Scott performing at the Super Bowl?
I love that, you know, there's some sort of, oh, we got the NFL to donate some amount of money to some, man, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get it for Travis. I think he is famous, but not that famous.
But he is now under the most famous umbrella in the world.
So like, and he is known for having a pretty, like he, I'd be really surprised if he just was a dud out there. I think it'll, I have no idea how they're going to use him because I don't, right. Does he have a song with Maroon 5?
It's not like
he's coming out to like do a guest 16 in some ad libs and then, you know. Jump up. It'd be hilarious if like you're watching Maroon 5 in the Super Bowl, all of a sudden you hear, you don't see him, you just hear the auto-tuned ad-libs.
Yeah!
It's lit! Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, this is why we're not Travis Scott. Those are terrible impersonations. okay, so they have a, well, no. No, they don't have any songs together.
Right, so he's clearly gonna have like a two or three song whatever set, right? And then he'll probably pull out Big Boy and then they'll probably go back to, you know, they'll be like, I don't know how to structure it. So he's going to have a little thing.
He's one. Yeah. Big Boy is there to play the Outkast hits. He's 100% doing the Outkast records. I don't think Travis gets two or three songs. That's a lot.
You think he gets one song?
He might get two.
Might get two. He's playing Sicko Mode.
Yeah. He could do his first verse from Sicko Mode. Well, God, how do you transition into that? Because it builds off of Drake's part. And then
I mean, when I saw Drake live and he did Sicko Mode, he just cut out Travis's part.
Right. I mean, but like Drake can kind of do that because he's the beginning and then he's that third part.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be real funny it'd be a real power move if he got Drake out there too, but I don't think that's happening.
Absolutely not.
But like all in all, like I think for him, you know, he's going to get some flack, but like a lot more people are going to know who Travis Scott is than they did before. And right? there's no upside considering the controversy with the NFL. Like there's no upside, which is kind of a weird controversy if you think about it. Like I get like, it's not weird that it's a controversy. It's weird in the way we apply it. Like we're all sitting there watching every single playoff game on Sunday, right? Yeah. We're obsessing over it. We tweet about it. But if an artist wants to perform at halftime, it's like we cross our arms and we go, no, sir, you are not allowed. And it's like, no, wait a minute. Could you be consistent? Like, I'll acknowledge, like, yeah, the NFL's messed up. What they did to Kaepernick is terrible.
Absolutely.
What they have done for their own players for head injuries is terrible.
Absolutely.
But I also 100% acknowledge that I am a total hypocrite because I'm sitting there watching on Sunday and I have not yet come to grips with that. But I'm also not out there like demanding that Travis Scott not perform.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to watch it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That I think that's my thing. I agree with you 100%. We're all going to be watching the Super Bowl. Even if it's like Okay, for me personally, I have a small bit of emotional stake there.
Oh boy, because
Spygate, and I hate everything about the Patriots. Fight me, Doc. It's okay.
But
yeah, I'm not like excited to see it, you know. But at the same time, it's like an American tradition, right? Like you get a bunch. It's more about the experience than the game, right?
So the food, and you're hanging out with friends.
Exactly.
And everybody wants to see the commercials.
Exactly. Exactly. How do you feel about them? Like, how do you feel about companies like leaking their commercials early? Pepsi's already put out their Cardi B commercial.
I think if you have a commercial that you like, but you're afraid gets lost in the shuffle.
Yes.
I think you're okay.
Yes.
I think if you have a commercial that relies on shock value, it's pretty dumb to leak it early.
I agree with you. Yep.
Because, man, it's fun. Like, especially, like, if you're... Well, I think it also depends on, like, when that commercial's going to air. Because I don't think the game will be a blowout. I think it'll be probably close.
Yeah.
But if it's a blowout on either side, and your commercial has that fourth quarter spot...
Yeah.
There'll still be a ton of people watching. But people will leave.
People will leave. People will change the channel. Or even worse, it'll be on... And it'll be background fodder for conversations.
Right.
People might start playing board games. Like, there's a whole bunch of places you could go.
Right. So if you've got a fourth quarter commercial, maybe you leak that.
I agree with that.
But if you have a commercial that you're really excited about and you've got like a prime first or second quarter spot, no.
Okay.
And there's not much upside. And now part of the problem too is like some of these commercials, it's like boom, boom, boom. And, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this Super Bowl and people are like, wait, what just happened? And then you're already into some other new crazy commercials you're supposed to like devote all your brain power to, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, so all that to say, like with all things nowadays, I feel like you can use it as a strategy. I don't think everybody should leak, but I don't think nobody should leak. If it makes sense to leak, cool. Okay. I think people could take a cue from rappers, right? They could announce the announcement. They could do a commercial for the commercial.
Yes, I agree.
Right. Oh, we got the. Oh, look at this crazy thing we got with this person and that person. And companies do that sort of thing already. So, like, I get it. But like, if that Cardi B Pepsi one is like has like a prime spot, and Pepsi always sponsors the halftime show. So if like if that's the prime just before halftime show spot, then I'm gonna be like, why did you give that up now?
Yeah, and I would say it would be weird if it was another commercial, but Cardi B's audience is largely crafted from social media, so they're gonna see it early. I don't know if Cardi put the commercial. Did the commercial leak or did they leak it?
Oh, I think they just put it out.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm on Cardi's Instagram, but I can't say anything because Instagram is down. Nope. No, they put out a teaser, like an IG boomerang, but I did see that the commercial is out. So maybe Cardi just didn't put it out.
Wait, is Instagram actually down?
Yeah, Instagram's down. Okay, no, they're already leaking their commercials. So they've got a Lil Jon commercial.
Yeah.
No, that's all in one.
Yeah.
Okay, so this I understand. So it looks like they did a 2-minute spot and they're breaking it out into 30-second intervals.
All right.
That makes sense. I ain't mad at that.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.